Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.25 billion back to our customer owners over the last 8 years. It's proof being a part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the board of directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.
This is the story of the one. As a custodial supervisor at a high school, he knows that during cold and flu season, germs spread fast. It's why he partners with Grainger to stay fully stocked on the products and supplies he needs, from tissues to disinfectants to floor scrubbers. All so that he can help students, staff, and teachers stay healthy and focused. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Let's roll. This is Sports Rage. I am Gabriel Morenci, the picks, the players, the hustlers, the podcasters, the people that bust them, and everybody else in between. Countdown to kickoff is getting serious right now. Week zero is nearly here. NFL football regular season rapidly approaching. We've got quarterback announcements to make. We've got CFL quarterback announcements and updates to get you caught up with. We've got college football best bets, CFL best bets. And the FedEx Cup wraps up at the lowest number that I've ever seen as far as a golf tournament is concerned. But there are some caveats to that for the conclusion of the PGA season. So we got a lot of stuff to break down. Let me start off. Listen, college football, it's here. We've got college football fever. We've started to fire off some of our win total bets. We're starting to back off some of the teams that we were going to bet on out of a realization of, you know what, do I really want to put money on this team? And are they like, is this a good bet, right? They're sort of recreational bets and sort of fun bets. And, you know, oh, I think this team can make a bowl game. It's like, all right, put $1,000 on it. And it's not quite as, then you're not quite as sure, right? It's like, well, you know what? Maybe they do lose this game and they lose that game. So this is why we're kind of patient with our win totals. We'll go over them. I'll make a list of, like, you know, 15 teams, or I'll naturally organically go through it. You know, there's, you know, 134 teams now, I think. So, you know, you go through it and then you're going to miss things. And then maybe, you know, you like something, and then, you know, you basically, I review it. So I've been sitting on win totals for a couple of weeks now. And now that the season is here, I'm very excited about some of them. Some of the other ones, I'm like, you know what? All right, I'll bet this, but, you know, it'll just be more of, you know, my own sort of personal bet than some sort of let's lock it in and drop a dime on this thing. Cause I want to put the work into this. You know, if I'm going to bet a season win total, I want it to be worth my while. So I believe, you know, $1,000, you know, even nickels are good. And on the recreational one, sort of 250, and we've already cashed some CFL, futures that have helped us load up, for the college of football, campaign. So speaking of which, let's start off with a team that's actually playing this Saturday, week zero, the Stanford Cardinal, a Stanford Cardinal team that people have absolutely, you know, buried and expect to be one of the worst teams out of the Power Four conferences right now, but they're still the Stanford Cardinal. Frank Reich is the head coach of this team, and Andrew Luck is the general manager. Yeah, that's right. We got general managers now in college. So Andrew Luck sort of runs the college. He runs the program, the college football program, as sort of a pro organization. He's the general manager, player development, personnel, etc. Yet Andrew Luck is still young. And Andrew Luck is very involved. Like, he's not sitting in a suit, like in an ivory tower, you know, on the campus at Stanford. He's on the practice field. Like, he's a de facto coach for this team. Like, it's pretty wild, like, what they've got going on there. So they've named their starting quarterback, Ben Gulbertson, who, of course, was the quarterback with the Oregon State Beavers and actually went 7-1. This kid can ball, actually. He lit it up against Stanford a couple of years ago. They've liked him. So they bring him in. They've just named him the starting quarterback. My guy, Lloyd Carr, one of the greatest Michigan Wolverine head coaches ever, and a man that I thought that was disrespected on the way out just because he lost that App State game. You know, he lost the App State game, and people, you know, basically, let's throw him under the bus. It's time. He's got to go. And it's funny because his last game, he beat Tim Tebow and the Florida Gators, who never lost games. And we saw what happened. They hired Rich Rodriguez after, and it was a freaking disaster in Ann Arbor. But with that being stated, Lloyd Carr's grandson, C.J. Carr, not a Michigan Wolverine. C.J. Carr has been named starting quarterback week one for the Notre Dame Fighting Irish. BYU, of course, had the controversy with Jake Retzlaff. Jake Retzlaff is now at Tulane, but BYU has announced that they're going to go with a freshman quarterback and Bear Bachmeyer as their starting quarterback in Provo. So the college football season is rapidly approaching. We've got Ian Cameron, who I know is ready to fire off some bets for week zero. And Cam Stewart is going to be in Vegas this weekend for week zero. And the UNLV Running Rebels are actually playing on Saturday. Alex Orji, former Michigan Wolverine backup quarterback, but a player that who played and contributed to the national championship team. And Alex Orji, of course, is the starting quarterback now for the UNLV Running Rebels. James Morgan has been named the starting quarterback for the Montreal Alouettes, former Bowling Green Falcon. We just saw James Morgan live on Saturday come into the football game as the Montreal Alouettes are out of quarterbacks. They signed Cameron Dukes last week, but it's just too quick of a turnaround. And James Morgan will be the starting quarterback. The point spread for the Montreal game, we talked about it earlier in the week, it was 4.5. There are now sixes out there. So it's moved 1.5 with the announcement that James Morgan will be the starting quarterback. So a lot of quarterback news, a lot of football news, a lot of stuff to get to. How you doing, Babano? I know you're ready to go week zero.
I am. I mean, I've talked a lot of previews and talking about this team's going to do this, this team's going to do that. It's time to start playing football, and I'm definitely excited about it.
And Cam, are you excited for Las Vegas this weekend?
To be honest with you, Gabe, I am. I'm a little bit less bankroll, but I'm going to have some good times down there. Hopefully, we'll get to meet some of the guys that you bring on the podcast and the Sports Rage shows that we've had on. But yeah, no, I'm pretty jacked up, and hopefully it'll be good. I'll put some bets in, and hopefully you get that check in the mail. I like to do that, Gabe. My favorite thing to do in Vegas before I leave is make bets and go, even when I'm on the plane, and if they win, I got the tickets and I mail them in. I like to get that mystery check in the mailbox. That's my favorite thing, unexpected money.
I'm not a, you know, I'm not a massive fan of it, but truth be told, every time that I actually have mailed a ticket in, I have been paid.
Yes.
After I haven't had any issues. Obviously, you go, you want to photocopy this stuff and you want to document it and back it up. But I just, you know, for the most part, if I play future tickets, I'll just sort of accept that I'll go back to cash them. Right. And, you know, within the year, so to speak. But it's pretty wild with the back of the tickets now, because it used to just be standard a year that the ticket was good for. But some books now, and, you know, it's basically state by state, casino by casino, sportsbook by sportsbook.
You're right, Gabe.
Some of them could be like 90 days. Some of them could be 6 months. So it's not just, oh, yeah, it's good for a year automatically. But I know a lot of people are skeptical of having their winnings mailed to them. But for the most part, like I said, I haven't had any problems. I haven't done it too many times. I know, for the record, like the D. I did it at the D once. I didn't get an I. I ran out of the D once to get a flight, like literally. Like I think I left stuff in my room even. I did.
Exactly.
Like, I was like, I got to go. It was one of those. I got to go. And the D was real cool. Because I called them like basically right after, and I said, listen, I think I left this in my room, and I didn't get this. I didn't cash out. I never got my deposit. I went like I had a long list of things, and they took care of it. But Derek Stevens runs a first class operation, and of course also runs. Derek Stevens pretty much runs Fremont now.
You're right. Gabe, I want to tell you something quick, too. And just to your point about mailing tickets, and I think this is important. I had a ticket. It was only $280 US. And basically, I forgot about it. I left a check in my sock drawer, and I found it. I'm like, oh, it's late. I'm sitting there, I'm pissed off. I'm like, you know, you're just an idiot, Cameron. And then I get this letter in the mail from Boyd Gaming. We've gone through the records and it seems like we didn't pay you for that. So a lot of the ones with the windows now, they're looking at stuff going, you know what? We're going to give you more time to get it paid.
Well, that was good. That was classy. Yeah, of Boyd.
That was classy. So I got that money back, which was absolutely huge. It might seem like nothing, but 300 US, you can use every cent.
I had a ticket from a Super Bowl from a couple of years ago in New Jersey. And I had to, like, I sort of forgot about it. And I realized I got to do something about this. And I had no choice. And I ended up costing me like $30, $40 to FedEx it to my boy, John Lerner in Jersey. And I told him, listen, you need to go out to Mammoth Racetrack. And poor bastard doesn't live anywhere near there. I was like, you got to go to the racetrack and you got to cash this ticket for me. And when it was all said and done, I went through all of this. The poor guy waited in traffic and stuff. And I said, you know what, John? I said, just keep the money that you spent on gas and give the rest to charity. And he said, all right, let's give it to, we'll give it to charity. And I went through all of that to end up not even cashing the money, but at least we contributed to charity after the fact. But, you know, it's so antiquated, these old school tickets, and you got to cash them. I like the modern era. You get paid instantly online, right into the account. So, Babano, week zero, some interesting games this week. Big time Big 12 conference game to start the season off with Kansas State and Iowa State in Dublin. That's at noon Eastern time. Point spread has been sitting at 3 for a couple of days. There were 3.5s out there, I guess, about a week and a half ago. Sitting at 3 right now. What are you doing with the season opener, Babano?
Yeah, and it looks like first we want to talk about the weather. That's always important when you're talking about these games to start the year in Dublin, Ireland. Doesn't look like it's going to be too bad. Not much wind, no precipitation in the forecast as of now. So,
Bano, where do these teams play? Where are they from?
Yeah, they played in a lot of adverse weather, I guess.
From
they played
Iowa in a blizzard and Manhattan. Ago, yeah, do you think that Dublin, yeah, Ireland is going to, like, in the summer, like, the weather is going to, like, overwhelm them?
The wind would be the concern, because the wind in any football game could negate the passing attack, but it's going to be fine, it looks like, on Saturday for this one. This is a very interesting part of this game, is that Iowa State and Matt Campbell have dominated this series. They've gone 4-1 straight up, 5-0 against the spread versus Kansas State. So they have done very well head-to-head. We'll see if that continues here. I do have concerns about Iowa State on the defensive line. Okay, they're starting over. They were not very good stopping the run last year. And you know Kansas State will commit to running the football because that's what they do, take pressure off Avery Johnson. They're also starting over in the secondary, a lot of new faces there. So can Avery Johnson step up, be a little bit more of an accurate, efficient passer to complement that run game? If that is the case, Kansas State should be able to move the football in this game, because I do have some question marks about Iowa State's D. Rocco Beck returns. Hanson, the good running back, returns for Iowa State. 3 of the 5 starters on the O-line are back, so that's all good sign for the offense there. The Kansas State defense, strong up front. I think it might be difficult for Iowa State to run the football. I think Kansas State might have more success running the football because I like the state of their D-line entering the season a little bit more than Iowa State. But Kansas State is weak in the secondary, and so the question is going to be, can Rocco Becht in the passing game take advantage of that? And this is a guy that got better last year throwing the football. So, you know, if the weather's not too bad, 49.5, 50, I kind of lean over. Now, I know you're going to get both teams playing slow. You're not going to get a lot of pace. This is one of those games where I think offensive efficiency both ways can maybe supersede pace in this game. So I like the over a little bit. I could only look to Iowa State, you know, getting 3 or as an underdog. They've had a very good head-to-head record against Kansas State. My one concern is I do think K-State has offensive advantages in this game against an Iowa State defense that's retooled on both the D-line and the secondary entering the season. So I prefer the over more than anything in this game.
Some of which I agree with what you said, but Iowa State, like, run the ball a hell of a lot better than Kansas State do, Babano. And they got 2 of their running backs back, and their whole line is back. Like, Iowa State are going to be the ones running the football in this game. K-State are the ones that can't run the ball and rely on throwing the ball, and Iowa State's secondary is elite, right? So I don't have zero concerns about Iowa State's secondary. That's going to be the challenge. If K-State can get a ground game going it'll help Avery Johnson. Avery Johnson's the key to the game, but I think Iowa State's defense is better than Avery Johnson. Like, you've got a better – I think they've got the better defense, and they've got a better ground game, Iowa State. And in the first game of the year, what do I want to rely on the most? Defense and running the football. Like, Iowa State are just going to run the ball constantly. I do agree with the total as far as 49.5. Like, I don't like betting unders, and I'm not going to start the season off by losing an under bet. I'll tell you that with college football. But, because 27-24 wouldn't surprise me, right? The 50's not a track meet. 50's not a track meet. But I do think that Iowa State will be able to move the football on K-State. The key is Cam's favorite quarterback, Avery Johnson. And what are we going to get from the K-State offense? And as far as the weather is concerned, I'm not going to start talking about weather because, like, it's August, Babano. Like, it's, like, literally August, bro. Like, they're going to Dublin. We need to talk about weather. Why? It's summer in Ireland as well. It's summertime. And remember, Ken, we brought up Iowa State and K-State literally play in blizzards and wind vortex, like hurricane games.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
And people are talking about, like, oh, Ireland and weather, you got to worry about them. It's like a bunch of kids from the Inuit going to Ireland. Oh, you better bring your jacket. Yeah, okay, yeah. Like, kids from Iowa State and K-State will be walking around in T-shirts all week.
You're right. It's like it's minus 20. These guys are rolling out shorts and T-shirts playing basketball when I was up there, Gabe. But I will say you brought up a very important point. Even though Kansas State has 3 new offensive linemen, they're very, very talented and highly recruited. That school's been known for their offensive line. And what you said is crucial. You get blocking and get a running game, and that'll open things up for Avery Johnson. I think that's the key to attack the Cyclones D, but it should be a good game. The spread's there for a reason. Open up 3.5, 3. I lean Kansas State. I know a lot of people I respect almost every show, Gabe. Everybody seems to like the Cyclones as a dog. Rick Saratella, Babano, you, everybody else. But I lean Kansas State, but I expect this to be a very tight game.
Yeah, and exactly. I would agree with that. And I never recommend college football teasers. So no. I can't believe I'm going to start the season off by recommending a teaser in the first game of the year. But getting Iowa State up to plus 10, if Iowa State, this will be a close game. It's a season opener. It's a conference game. Whoever wins this game has a big head start within Big 12 play. They don't like each other. There's just so much at stake here. That's why, 24-21 wouldn't surprise me either. So I'm not in love with the total of this game. But I do think Iowa State at plus 10 looks very attractive. And then you ask yourself, all right, what would you want to pair it with? The next game on the board, there's been live movement here. Idaho State and UNLV, and I talked about this earlier in the week, and I actually said the total is 64, and it'll continue to climb. This is a game in which there's going to be points put up on the board. Idaho State will be able to score a bit on UNLV. And I think that Dan Mullen, in his Vegas debut, is not going to take the pedal off the metal. He's going to put up as many points as he can to try to get some enthusiasm going and get the boosters behind him. And Mullen is one of these guys that understands covering the point spread. But spreads, I already thought, guys, at 24.5, that it was kind of an accurate number. UNLV are good, but UNLV winning by 30 plus is asking a lot. That's like what elite programs do. And let us not forget, although it's a different UNLV program, but UNLV Running Rebels on a season opener, because this is pretty funny. I actually was on, one of the major websites, and they had college football predictions, and the predictions were like money line picks. And he gave UNLV as like minus 40,000 here. against Idaho State. And he said, oh, you know, the point spread's a lot, but it was, so it was like money line for every game. So it wasn't like he was, you know, trying to get away with, oh, this is my pick, but he gave him money line for every game. And he said, there's no way UNLV loses. Yeah. UNLV lost to Howard as 45 point favorites. I was there. And I remember like the sequence and how it went down. It's actually the biggest upset in college football history, even though it really shouldn't be, because UNLV sucked and they never should have been 45 and a half point favorites. It was against Cam Newton's little brother, and Cam Newton's brother pulled off the upset win. I'll never forget the Howard band and fans walking back into the sports book after the game, after I told them earlier in the day they were going to get their ass handed to them too.
it's like a you guys are going down.
Yeah, it was like a UFC card. I said, no, you guys won't be. I remember telling a guy, you won't be as happy after the game.
Yeah.
He said, yeah, we'll see about that. I saw the guy after, and he goes, you're right, I'm even happier. It's like a UFC card that night or something. And I was like, what the hell? UNLV lost? But I think that game is going to be, I think there'll be points on the board. So the total is going to continue to climb, guys. So number advice, 65 and a half now. I wouldn't be surprised if it closed at like 67 and a half. Fresno State and Kansas. This has come down from like 13 and a half to 12 and a half now. EJ Warner, Kurt Warner's son, is now the quarterback of Fresno State. Comes over from Temple. Total is 50 and a half in this game. This is the total, guys, I think is just too light. This total surprises me. Kansas's offense is going to put some points up, and I think Fresno is good enough to score on Kansas as well. So I think that total is light. Western Kentucky and Sam Houston State are getting 10, total 62. And then you get the nightcap with Stanford and the Bows, Hawaii, 2-point favorites in this game against Frank Reich, Andrew Luck and company. Babano, what catches your eye on Saturday?
Yeah, I'll give you something on each game. Fresno State, Kansas. Be careful with this total. And the reason I say it as far as over, just because Fresno State with Matt Entz, the new head coach, he was formerly head coach at North Dakota State. He's a defensive-minded head coach, and he wants to, and he's made no secret about this in the lead up to this game. He wants to run the football and run the football a lot. He wants to shorten the game, let, you know, fewer possessions, and really rely on that run game and take pressure off E.J. Warner. And I know there's a lot of people that say, well, E.J. Warner was kind of underachiever at Temple, underachiever at Rice. Well, there was not a lot around him. Those were some bad football teams when he played there. Fresno's going to have a little bit more talent. I like that they're going to run it a lot. They're not going to ask E.J. Warner to do everything. They're putting an offense together that's going to support E.J. Warner rather than E.J. Warner have to take it all on himself. And they have a good run game. They should be able to have success here. There's still questions, too, about this Kansas defense, you guys, because, you know, they struggled last year. Lance Leipold seems to like what he's got here. But I do think there could be an ability here for Fresno to run the football. I like Fresno with the points here. You know, getting 12 and a half, 13.
Kansas was good at the end of the year, though, right, Gabe? You remember. Like, they were off to it. There was a miserable start for the Kansas
Jayhawks. And then they got hot.
Yeah, exactly. Then they got
they played better. But most of it, Cam, was their offense. You know, their defense was still very shaky. Mm-hmm. I think Fresno's going to run the football. I'm not betting the total. I would just say because of how Fresno's going to play, very deliberate, very slow. I'm personally pumping the brakes a little bit on the over in this game, but I like Fresno. The only concern would be Kansas playing their first game at that brand new stadium that they're just going to open for their home games. I'm sure it's going to be a good atmosphere, but Kansas was a miserable favorite, and an even worse double-digit favorite, you know, the last couple of years. So I'm going to take the points there with Fresno. The over that I like, Gabe, the most is Sam Houston State, Western Kentucky. I think that's going to be a lot of points because Sam Houston State starting over on defense. Phil Longo, the head coach, lost everybody because Casey Keeler, the head coach, left. The defensive coordinator for Sam Houston last year left, and he took all his defensive players pretty much with him to North Texas, which is where he is now. So this is a totally starting from scratch Bearcats defense, and I think they're going to suffer here because Western Kentucky can always move the football, and they bring in an OC and quarterback from Abilene Christian. These two guys were together at Abilene Christian, Rick Bowie, the offensive coordinator, Maverick McIver, the quarterback, and they put up huge numbers. Now, granted, it's the FCS level, but they put up huge numbers.
Yeah, so it's his first FBS start.
Yes.
In other words, yes.
It is.
So it's his first.
But they're going to play lightning fast, Gabe, with Longo. Sam Houston State's not going to play that snail pace they did last year. They're going to throw the ball more with Watson, play faster. So I see a lot of points there with Sam Houston and Western Kentucky.
Cam, I'll tell you right now, that's the that's the handicapper special trap day of the game.
It's the highest total.
A lot of people, like I remember Rob Vino, I remember 2 weeks ago, said that's the one that I like, Sam Houston State, Western Kentucky, over 62. I will say, Babano, it is manageable in the 62. It's not, you know what I mean, 68 and a half, or even like, you know, the UNLV game's going to get up to 67 and a half. You'll probably have to get to 68. 62 is kind of doable, but for whatever reason, this is the one that has the total has trap, and I'm a big college football over better. As far as Fresno is concerned, Fresno will score on Kansas, Babano. There's no doubt. Kansas defense is average, right? You know, they've got some players on their D-line. Their secondary is bad. So Fresno should be able to throw the football on Kansas. I do agree the point spread. I thought this number was a little high. To be honest with you, Fresno is a better football program than Kansas is, right? Like Fresno have been a very consistent football program over the years. Kansas have talent. Their quarterback, Jalen Daniels, not Jaden, but Jalen, is a stud. He got hurt early in the year last year, the Jayhawks offense, and as a team, they kind of struggled. But they were, and I've talked about it a lot, they were playing at Arrowhead Stadium. They didn't have any home field advantage, like that whole home campus advantage. They put a lot of renovations into their stadium, like, you know, like $400 million renovations of their stadium. So it's taken a couple of years, but the stadium is nearly complete. They're back on campus. I think that game will get over the 50. Like, it's just too low.
Idaho State and UNLV
is mid-50s.
Gabe, I was saying, so Idaho State and UNLV is 64.5. We got Sam Houston State and Western Kentucky, 61.5. What do you guys, what over is better in your opinion?
I personally like the UNLV one better.
I like the over in the UNLV game too, but I like Western Kentucky more. You're going to get extreme tempo both sides in that Sam Houston Western Kentucky game. Like both teams have made it known. We're playing fast, and you're going to get a lot of possessions. There's big playability with both sides. Defensive questions. Remember, Western Kentucky was awful last year against the run at times. So Sam Houston should still be able to move the ball, and Western Kentucky is picking on a defense that is just completely rebuilt from last year.
I don't like Sam Houston games. I remember them last year. Their games are always crazy. It's like 3-0 at the half, and it ends up like 41-40. Like they're a very scattered team. Sam Houston State. This is the, you know, and I'm not saying don't bet it. I'm not saying don't listen to Babano or Vino. People like the over. I'm just saying for me, this is sort of the funky game. There's always one, you know. On a lighter card, there's always going to be a game or two. Sort of like baseball, where it's like, I have no interest in the Guardians.
I do remember, Gabe, to that point. Now, hopefully that's not going to be the case here with this Western Kentucky game, but I remember a few years ago, or maybe even more than that, loving a SMU-TCU over the very first week of the season, and it just started off very slowly. And I forget if it got, I think it still cashed in the end, but boy, it was a sweat, and it took a monster second half.
Yeah, this is a good example. Like, let's say this game starts off slow, guys, and it dips into the, like, then I'll jump in, right? I'm just saying, like, and Western Kentucky, their offense isn't as fluent as it used to be. It, you know, at times it is. And like you said, Babano, and I don't dismiss the kid because he's playing his first game, because I think the transfers will do fine. I don't think there's that big of a drop off, like Albany, you know what I mean, from Albany and Christian to playing against whatever, Sam Houston State, etc. But nevertheless, all right, then you got Stanford and Hawaii. This is the polarizing game as well. I think everybody is walking into a big Hawaii trap here. You know, Hawaii's win total is 5.5 on the season, guys. I was thinking about pulling the trigger. I still could. Obviously, we still have time to do it, but I'm not so sure they win this game, to be honest with you. So I really don't feel like starting off the season in a hole with Hawaii here. Babano, who are you taking in Stanford and Hawaii?
I am taking Hawaii, but I don't like it now as much now that they're favored. I mean, they opened as a dog in this game. Stanford was a slight road favorite. I just don't see a whole lot to like with Stanford. Troy Taylor got dismissed because of the allegations, of course, of abuse. And then, of course, in comes Frank Reich, and Andrew Luck hires him because that's his old buddy. You know, and I think it's one of these situations where there's not a lot on the skill positions either. I'm reading a lot of stuff. The running back group's not that great. The receiving core's weak. Ben Gulbertson is a game manager quarterback at best, you know, for this Stanford team. And the defense was a sieve last year. And I don't know how much better it's going to be this year. So there's a lot of question marks. Now, we are asking why.
The guy went 7-1 for Oregon State. That's a little bit better than a game manager. I know he's not perfect, Pavano, but, you know, that's pretty impressive.
He's just not going to chuck the football deep. That's the thing. It's going to be dink and dunk passing, short to intermediate. That's generally what we've got.
You do realize, Pavano, that he's got Frank Reich and Andrew Luck as his quarterback coach. And he talked about it, Cam.
A lot of quarterback brain prowess to help him out.
He talked about it, Cam. He said, I've learned more in the last month about quarterback play than I could ever imagine. He said, every day they're pointing things out to me that I never even thought about before. Like, never, like, crossed my mind. And he's got Luck and Reich.
So. That's awesome. And he played tougher competition in the Pac-12 back then, right? Like, that's the whole thing. Like, I get Hawaii's this program that's building or whatever. But, Gabe, you mentioned it before. I know Rick kind of said, oh, you know, Stanford's not that big. But that's what they can do. They still have kids on the offensive line that can kind of, you know, throw Stanford, these guys around.
Stanford are going to be bigger on the offensive line. They're going to be bigger on the defensive line. They're going to be bigger. Like, I don't care if you're you think that Hawaii, like, get better recruits than Stanford do, even though Stanford are down.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Like, they don't, right? I mean, they quite frankly don't. Hawaii are undersized. They've gotten bigger. They were like a high school team a couple of years ago. They've gotten bigger, yet they're also a team. Like, they're physically undersized. They're very undisciplined. They take a lot of penalties. And the key is, if Stanford can throw the ball, Hawaii are going to be in trouble in this game. I'm taking the Stanford Cardinal, guys. I'm going to be on the Stanford Cardinal Saturday night, and that'll be a fun game in Vegas, Cam, because that'll be the last game of the day.
Remember, last year,
sportsbooks, and everybody's going to have money on this one. The bailout special.
I'm with you. I know it's an early bailout special. I'm used to the 11:59 Eastern. We've all been gambling a long time, but I'm with you, Gabe. I just see this. I see the movement on Hawaii. I see people talking Hawaii. I'm on Stanford in this game. I trust the brain trust. I think it's going to be a tight one, but I think they can squeeze out the win, and we're getting 2.5 with the Cardinal. I'm on Stanford as well.
Oh, it'll be close. It'll be
very close.
Well, remember last year, and this will strengthen the case of the people that like Stanford. You know, Stanford's not going to be a very good football team this year. We can pretty much agree on. We don't think so. UCLA was not a very good football team last year. They still went to Hawaii and beat them that first game of the year, 16-13. It was an ugly game, but UCLA pulled it out.
UCLA were a scrappy team last year.
They were.
They were good against the spread as the season went on. They're in it. You know, I wanted to buy into UCLA this year, and now they've got the quarterback from Tennessee, Ayamaliva, comes over. So they got the big time quarterback. UCLA, you know, UCLA is a basketball school. You know, you think of UCLA, you know, basketball, but Chip Kelly and the coaches that they had really, really, really turned people off, like the football program. Like, I'm talking about the boosters and the NIL people. And UCLA have deep pockets, guys. They're a rich school, right? And they have rich alumni. So they were backing Mick Cronin, like, in the, you know what I mean, with the transfer portal and stuff like that. They weren't putting money into the football program because they didn't like the direction, and they didn't like the AD. They didn't like anything about it. And now they are. Like, they paid they gave Nico, like, he didn't get as much as he wanted, but he got like 2.5.
He also didn't have as many suitors as I'm sure he thought he did.
Nico?
Yeah.
Well, he had suitors, but he overpriced himself and he waited too long. I mean, don't kid yourself, Abano. Like, he's a big time quarterback, right? Big time college quarterback that would have made more money, but every spot was already taken.
No.
Like, he his management misplayed this.
They did. Like, and he ended up, you know, at the end, it's like a guy with his hat out saying, please sign me.
Well, he acted like he was, No, he didn't have his hand out. He had his hand out.
He's got my hand ahead of him. Put it there.
Yeah, Cam. He got $3 million a year from UCLA. He had his hand out. I know.
Babato's the best. I love this guy. He's amazing. Hand out.
Hand out.
Oh, that was awesome.
And, you know, and also, do you know where he's from, Babato?
Nico Iamaliava, not off the top of my head. I remember someone saying it.
He's from Los Angeles, California. So, yeah, he didn't have his hand out. Like, he wanted to play for UCLA.
Close to home. Yeah. I see that now. Long
very
Beach.
Hawaiian name. I was going to say Hawaii, Gabe. I didn't know he's from L.A.
Yeah, he's Long Beach. Long Beach. But, yeah, dude, all these quarterbacks are all from California now. Like, that's why it's so criminal that the Pac-12 got blown up the way that it did. Because it wasn't like the quality of play. It wasn't like the talent level, right? Like, I could go on. Like, you know, well, where's Bryce Young from in the NFL right now? So he was at Alabama. He's from Pasadena, all right? Like, you know, like Matt Corral, he was a quarterback of Ole Miss. Oh, a good Southern kid. He's from like, freaking Venice Beach, basically. Like, you know what I'm saying? C.J. Stroud, Ohio State quarterback. Where's he from? Rancho Cucamonga, California, right? Like, it's just California, California, California. But Nico did outplay his hand, Babano. Like, there's no doubt. Yeah. He acted like a pro, basically. Like, it was like the day before camp, essentially. You know what I mean? The night before camp, he told, like, Heupel, yeah, listen, I need a raise. And Heupel got like, well, that's good for you, but that's not happening. Like, we have a deal. Like, you've been taking the money. Like, you can't redo the deal. You've been taking the money. But so he hurt his reputation, like the way he kind of screwed Tennessee. Let's call it out for what it is. And to be real, Babano, I will say this. He wasn't that good for Tennessee last year. Right? Like, he actually became a problem. Like, Tennessee won last year because of their defense and because of their ground game, not because of the quarterback play. But this is the world that we're in now with the NILs, and these kids have the power right now. He misplayed it, but I was going to say, I think this UCLA team is very competitive and very scrappy, and they're going in the right direction. But their schedule is an absolute bitch. Like, it's just...
Oh, it's brutal.
Yeah, and it was brutal last year, Babano. Yeah. Like, yeah. It really was bad last year. Like, there was, like, one week after another. He almost felt sorry for them. It was like, really? You guys are playing this? They open up with Utah this year. They go to UNLV in week two. That's not easy.
That's not easy.
No. So that they're going to find themselves in a track meet with UNLV. They host New Mexico. They go to Northwestern. And then it gets serious. Penn State at UCLA. UCLA at Michigan State. Maryland at UCLA. UCLA at Indiana. Nebraska at UCLA. UCLA, Ohio State. It's the last. See, that little mid part, guys, isn't that bad. Like that little, you know, all right, Michigan State, Maryland, Indiana, Nebraska. But it's the last three where it's like, damn. UCLA and Ohio State, November the 15th in bad weather. Washington Huskies at UCLA, November 22nd. Complete toss-up. Tough game. And then they wrap up UCLA at USC. That's a tough way to end the season.
Like, very difficult. That schedule's a murderer's row right
like if
there.
You're betting, you know, if you're looking at a 5.5 here, it's like, man, that's just tough. Like, you know what I mean? Where are the wins coming from? But we could go on and on about college, and we will, but let's move on to the CFL right now. So James Morgan is in for the Montreal Alouettes. These guys just can't buy a break right now, but that's the CFL season. So I see 6 and 48.5 right now. But Bano, what's your pick for the Bombers in the Alouette game?
I really badly want to take Montreal in this spot. I still don't trust Winnipeg. They have had bad second half performances now repeatedly a few weeks in a row. Almost blew it last week against Ottawa. Not a team I'm comfortable with the defensive concerns or the receiver concerns. You know, thankfully for them, Dalton Schoen's back, which helps, but really Dembski, and it's a lot of youth at that receiving core, but having Schoen back will certainly help. What are we going to get from James Morgan? You know, that's going to be the question. I thought he played good, you know, a solid in glimpses against BC. Now I know BC was way ahead, and that last touchdown was kind of them playing prevent defense. But, you know, Morgan's got a decent enough arm. He's going to be coached up throughout the week by Moss. I haven't bet this game yet, Gabe. I'm not sure I will, if I'm being totally honest here, but I'd lean Montreal here getting the home dog price. I'm not ready to lay it with Winnipeg, even with the injuries and even with the quarterback woes Montreal has had.
James Morgan did look good. I saw him in person. He looked, you know, like I said, he was in a really tough spot getting thrown out there like that. But the kid looked composed. Like, he hung there in the pocket. As you stated, Babano, he can spray the ball. He can throw the ball. But it's just not that. It's like the Alouettes have so many injuries.
Yeah.
Like, around him. So it's not like just, oh, you know, it's the quarter. If it was the quarterback, and, oh, yeah, he's got Philpott. He's got Mack. He's got Erlington. Right? And they're deep. Like, there's just so much against them. I'm leaning with the under in this game, 48.5. But one thing I'll say, this year, the CFL, it's been fun, but it's been tough, Cam and Babano. So many games, Cam, we got backup quarterbacks, right? So it's like, it's a tough handicap a lot of the time in the CFL, which leads us into the next one. But what's your pick, Cam, for the Bombers and the Alouette game?
Well, we talked about this yesterday. It's huge. You could have got Winnipeg 4.5. I'm seeing 5.5, 6. So if that thing gets to 7, I'm going to take Montreal. Gabe, you're right, though. This team is so beat down, battered. But I just, you're asking Winnipeg to win by margin. It was a really tough spot for Morgan. He got thrown in the fire against the Lions on the road. Now you're at home. I think they can maybe, if that thing gets to 7, I'm going to give Montreal a long, hard look. And I'm with you. 48.5. Montreal's going to want to slow this game down and, you know, pin Winnipeg deep and make them go the distance. So I'm leaning 48.5. under. But the Gabe, if you like the Alouettes, just wait, because this thing will probably close 7.
And again, Winnipeg has a very real second half problem. Like, this is really bad how they've played in the second half.
Oh, they've blown leads.
So maybe if you like Winnipeg, take them first half. Maybe you like bet Montreal at that point.
I don't have a lot of confidence in this Montreal team. I could see this going the way the Saskatchewan game went for them. You know what I mean? Like 30, yeah, you know, instead of 31-8 or whatever the hell it was, like, you know, 28-13 or something. Like,
crazy thing was your score. Remember when you said 31-9 BC over Montreal? I was looking in the fourth quarter. I'm like, that's the score was there.
Yeah, it was pretty wild.
Until the end, I was thinking, going, did this guy play exact score? Because if he did, he's going to be rich.
It's funny.
Yeah, it was right in the fourth quarter. I'm like, what?
People asked me, actually. Yeah. Like, I got recognized. Like, people were asking me. So I was on the SkyTrain going to the game. People were game around, see, what's the final score going to be? And I just told them. 31-9 BC. And then I'm outside the stadium. Shout out to Cliff. Some dude, Cliff, came up to me. I checked out in BC gear. Hey, what'd you bet on? You like the under, I heard. Like, I said, yeah, 31-9. And then lo and behold, like you said, Kim, it was like 8 minutes. I'm like, dear God, it's like 31-10 now or something like that.
It was crazy. It was right there.
I got screwed. The total just squeeze. I hate betting unders. Just squeeze.
Gabe, I will say this too. You got to be very careful with these CFL numbers. Games that look under tend to sometimes go over. Like that Edmonton-Toronto game, you could have known nobody would have taken the under in that game. That goes under. Saskatchewan-Hamilton, the same thing. I find these CFL totals, and you're right, the BC-Montreal game just squeezed over the number due to garbage time touchdown with Morgan and the Alouette. So these numbers, they look like locks, but the totals can be very difficult. Sometimes the opposite is true.
One thing in the CFL, teams don't quit.
Yes.
Right. Like, and you know what I mean? Like, they don't just start running the ball late when they're down. They'll throw the ball. So there are a lot of, you know, you do get a lot of backdoor late points in the CFL and general craziness in close games. All right. So I'll post my picks on X for this before kickoff, but I like the Bombers better at 4. And that's the thing. I mean, I post these picks game day and we talk about them all week, and there's big line moves in the CFL, and we've had line moves in this one. The Edmonton Elks are up to -3 right now. Total 53.5. I'll tell you guys right now, I'm crumbing it. I'm going with Dustin Crum here. It's up to 3 right now. I think people are overestimating Edmonton a little bit as a 3-point road favorite. Are the Edmonton Elks really going to win 3 games in a row? Cam, what's your pick? The Elks or the Red Blacks?
You said all I needed to say. I'm getting 3 on FanDuel. It's plus money, too. I don't have to lay any juice. Give me the, I'll take the cookie.
Well, you'll be in Vegas. You'll have to see what Circa offers for this.
Yes, that's a good point.
Or you better place your bets before you go.
Great call. I'll be in the air. Click, click, click. The CFL gets done before you hit the flight, but that's too many points. I'll take the 3 with Ottawa. Crum showed very good signs. It was late in the game. I get it. But I'm telling you, laying points with Edmonton, sure, they beat the Argos, but the Argos were in that game for a long period of time. Mistakes at the goal line. I'm going to take Ottawa. Desperate team. I think they can win this game. So I'll take the 3.
I think that the skill position players are good enough around Crum The thing is, there's two ways of looking at this, Babano. Crum looked very good last week. Let's give him credit. You know what I mean? He got the cover for us. He played well on multiple drives late in the game, and it wasn't just him scrambling. There were some nice throws that he made. That's the positive. The negative is, can he do that for 3 hours? I'm not so sure, right? So I'm gambling that he does in this spot because Crum is good in limited spots. But and then, you know what I mean? There's times when you're like, man, this guy's okay. You know, he can make it. He can move the ball for us. And then there's times where every pass is getting batted down at the line of scrimmage, and he's completely clueless. He can't throw the ball down the field, so everything is going to have to be slant and hit. And it's tough in a CFL because the field is so long. So that's the problem with Crum. It takes like, you know, 12, 15 plays down the field, right? You don't get that big play capability, and it's hard to be perfect on 12, 15 plays down the field. That's why, like, even like dink and dunk teams in the NFL struggle, college football struggle. You need to be able to get chunk yards in modern football. But what's your pick, Babano? Do you trust Edmonton or Dustin Crum? Pick your poison.
Edmonton. I don't trust Dustin Crum for a full game, especially when the other team knows he's the starter, game plans for him. And Edmonton's defensive strength is the run. And it's going to be a run-based RPO offense now with Dustin Crum. And I think that plays into the strength of Edmonton's defense because their secondary is worse, Edmonton, than the D-line. And I think I don't know if Crum can exploit that here in this game. Not to mention Edmonton's, look, with Cody Fajardo under center, they're 4-0 against the spread. And now they've won two in a row. There's a real feeling of, hey, we can win games now. And all three wins for Edmonton came against the weaker East Division, including already beating Ottawa earlier this year. Maybe an under, too, believe it or not. And I haven't said that much about Edmonton, but Ottawa's going to run the football a lot, dink and dunk passing with Crum. And Edmonton's defense is slowly starting to get better. Cody Fajardo and the offense has been good, guys, but the drives have been more methodical. Longer time of possession drives for Edmonton since Fajardo's taken over. And five straight Edmonton games have gone under the total. So I'm thinking 53.5 might just be a little too high with this total.
The BC Lions and the Toronto Argonauts play Saturday afternoon. And I'm always fearful of these Saturday afternoon games in Toronto because I used to go to them often. I lived right near the stadium. And in the summertime, it would be like brutally hot. And there were a couple of times I'd bet it over and I wanted to collapse, like just in the stand, sitting in the sun, watching the game, let alone the players. And the games would go under the number. It's later in the year right now, so weather won't be quite as much of a factor. But it could be windy, actually. But I should know, Cam, it's the, what do they call it? The CNE. Yep. They have it here in Vancouver. It's called the PNE here. But they got the CNE. It's like a big, you know, it's like the amusement park, like, you know, like the Texas-Oklahoma game, the state fair or whatever. That. So this is one of the games the Argos do draw well in. And in fact, they've actually opened the upper deck for this one, which is rare for a Toronto game. And Babano, you're a Ticat fan who often takes pot shots at the Argonaut organization and their fan base. And I couldn't resist either. So yes. The World Cup is coming to Toronto and Vancouver. And the Toronto Argonauts decided to basically sell their home games. And they're playing in Winnipeg and they're playing in Regina. Instead of just playing in Guelph or Kitchener or Waterloo, whatever, just somewhere locally in Ontario. But they basically, they made a financial decision. And I see Argo fans online, Babano, like they are losing it, right? And I'm never going to an Argo game. Screw Maple Leaf Sports Entertainment. And nobody gets as treated as poorly as the Argos. And I said, man, if like half as many of you actually went to games that are crying about the Argos, like online,
so the six fans are upset.
Yeah, they'd have a sold out stadium. Like seriously, like there were like thousands. Like you would think that they were actually like, it's like none of you losers even go to the games, and you're crying about it because I know you don't go to the games because we see, you know, you got 13,000 people to your last effing game.
Yeah,
right. So, you know, facts are facts. It is what it is. The ownership, like Maple Leaf Sports Entertainment, shouldn't own the Argos. But the problem is nobody really wants to buy them. So the league is concerned. They don't want to, you know what I mean? They're not, and the league is intimidated right? The league doesn't want to go, like, Maple Leaf Sports Entertainment, like, could buy every team in the league if they wanted to. Like, they're the biggest behemoth in the league. And they're also in the television industry. So the CFL doesn't want to tell, like, Maple Leaf Sports Entertainment slash Rogers now, it's so convoluted, that you guys are doing a terrible job with this team. But they do a terrible job. Somebody did a great, it was an expose on X, and it was bang on. I don't know if it was an employee, but it was like, you know, three pages of, like, behind the scenes of stuff with the Argos and, like, detailed stuff about how Rogers, when they took over, they told the Argos PR people they only have a budget to advertise for 5 home games a year. They have 9 home games a year.
Wow.
They have 9 home games a year. Imagine Roger, Babana Roger, what Rogers can't afford, like, to put a billboard up, like an Argo, like, they just don't care. They didn't want in on it. Like, basically, Maple Leaf Sports Entertainment owns it, but they don't care about it. And it's this weird, like, deal. And I've been hearing, I don't know, there was word that maybe Tannenbaum was going to buy it and take over, which would be a good thing. Larry Tannenbaum's a good sports owner. He's on top of things. He's the one that is bringing the WNBA team in, because once again, Maple Leaf Sports Entertainment slash Rogers didn't want anything to do with the WNBA. They were like, focus on the Maple Leafs, basically. So we'll see what happens with the future with the Raptors right now, but it's just a big mess and the Argos are caught up in it. But nevertheless, there will be people at this game. This is the one, guys. I was going to say, you know, oh, I don't like, you know, some of these afternoon games and even early games. I don't like betting overs. It's early in the day, etc. But we saw what happened with Ottawa and Toronto on a Saturday afternoon game. You were there, actually, Cam.
Yes, I was. And
88 points.
And Gabe, the weather, I'm looking at the weather right now, and obviously this is just like a few days ahead, but it's been consistent. The heat wave has gone down a little bit, so, but it's still, you know, 27 degrees is manageable. It's not going to be like 38 before, maybe evening showers at the end of the game, third, fourth quarter. But yeah, the weather's pretty nice. You talked about the Canadian National Exhibition. The CNE is going to be packed with people, a lot of the drunk kids. Hey, let's just go to an Argo game. That's their first game after they hang out after the rides. But yeah, I'm expecting fireworks in this game. I'd be shocked if we didn't get into the 70s here.
Well, if you get a ticket into the playground, you get a ticket for the game, and vice versa. So if you get a ticket to the game, you're to the playground. So it should fill up with kids just sort of rolling in as the day goes on. Babano, BC 3.5-point favorites, 55.5. BC are starting to dial it up a little bit. And like you said, though, and good point by Babano with the East West stuff. You got to bring this up. Like, it's free money, Babano. Like, dude, look at, like, even BC, as I talked about. BC's wins this year, Babano. They beat Edmonton twice, and they beat Montreal twice and Hamilton. Like, these West teams, like, they beat the East all the time, bro. They just do. I know, will Edmonton beat Ottawa? It's a little bit of another story here, but so you got BC laying 3.5, total 55.5. This is the one. Call me all the over, because I'll be smashing the over this one. Give me the over 55.5, BC Toronto. What's your pick, Rebecca?
Yeah, it's an over for me. It's the highest total on the board, but it's the highest total for a reason, in my opinion. I don't know how BC doesn't score 30. You know, this is a miserable Toronto defense. Absolutely terrible. And Nathan Rourke and this Lions
probably
offense.
Probably score 40-plus, but 30s at 55. So, that means the Argos are going to have to score 26.
I like over 55.5, too. I think I like BC team total over 29.5 even more. Because I see them getting 30 with how awful this Argos defense has been. The pass rush has been bad. The secondary is underperformed with the way Rourke is clicking right now. But Nick Arbuckle and the Argos, every week, they seem to be able to move the football. And even in the loss last week against Edmonton, they moved the football again. By the way, we've had 62 and 69 points the last two times BC and Toronto have played here at BMO Field. So, a lot of points in the last two games in Toronto between the Lions and the Argos the last couple seasons. So, yes, I like over and a lot of points as well.
This will be a fun game. This game, Cam, you will not see in Las Vegas, because this game is at 3 o'clock Eastern. It'll be in the middle of the college football games of week 0. So you'll have to.
Hey, guys, can you put the BC Toronto game on? Shut up, idiot.
I was there last year. I actually did it. I remember I was watching games in the book, and I was like, hey, man, I got to see the CFL game. I got more money on it. And I actually just went to my room and watched the CFL game on my laptop for a couple hours. And nice. I went back to the sports book. I went, got some drinks, went up
That's
to my room,
best.
Watched a game on a laptop. And I went back down to the sports book after. And then the final game, big time game, but battle, the game of the week with the Rough Riders and the Stampeders. The Stampeders have gotten better of the Rough Riders. And obviously dealt them their only loss of the season this year. I think payback is coming. I'm tired of getting in front of this Rider team and losing. They're just a money machine right now. Big time game in Calgary. Should be a full house there in C-Town. What's your pick, Babano?
I'm with you. The only thing I'm worried about is Calgary off a bye. And Dickinson long-term is really good off a bye. Remember, they smashed Winnipeg at home off a bye week earlier this year. And that is an advantage for them. I think they're going to have Damian Alford back, their great rookie receiver. So that is concerning. But I'm kind of with you. I like how this sets up still for Saskatchewan because they had a great win over my Ticats last week. And remember, Calgary handed them their only loss this season in Saskatchewan back in week six. It was probably the worst Trevor Harris and the offense have played. So the Riders have this circled. Their defense is playing outstanding. I think they get the job done, too. I actually think this could be a sneaky over in this game as well. It was a low-scoring first game, but you look at Calgary getting healthier on offense. And with all due respect to Saskatchewan's defense, which was great last week, but they've also faced Montreal without Davis Alexander. Calgary has scored 24-plus points in every home game, except for the game against Ottawa, where it was a weather game, the weather was awful, and then the Montreal game where it was P.J. Walker got injured, you know, late in that game, or P.J. Walker came in because Vernon Adams got injured late in that game. Other than that, they've scored 24-plus. I think Saskatchewan's got the chance to move the football here against Calgary's defense. Hasn't played as well in recent weeks. So at 50-50 and a half, I like this over. A higher scoring game than the first meeting, and I'm with you. I'm not stepping in front of Saskatchewan, Gabe, right now.
Yeah, I agree. I think there'll be points. It should be noted, too, that Rough Rider Calgary game was a weird one. It was supposed to be on Friday night. It had that long lightning delay, and the delay was so long that they played on Saturday afternoon.
Right. Yep.
So it was a unique situation. Calgary just sort of handled it better. And also, it took away Saskatchewan's home field advantage. There wasn't nearly as many people there on the Saturday. Like, Saskatchewan, the Rough Riders are a one team in the league where people come from all over, right? Like the province to go to the game. You know what I mean? Like Montreal has some people coming, but it's people from Montreal that are going. Like, you know what I mean? Like that, like they are like Winnipeg. It's people in Winnipeg, the Jet fans all go to the Bomber games, etc. Like the Rough Riders draw fans. Like the Rough Riders, put it this way, like each team in the CFL guys has better nights, and it's not all the same nights that they can sell tickets. You know what I mean? And the league tries to accommodate them, but then other owners get upset because it's an advantage for the teams. Because, like, long story short, like, the Rough Riders, it's much crazier, you'll notice, Babano, during a weekend game for them. Because people can plan for it, they go. Like, they on a Thursday and Friday night, they don't get the same. Even on Friday, like, the Rough Riders hate Thursday night games. The BC Lions, same thing. The BC Lions like Friday night games, right? They do well on Fridays. The Alouettes voluntarily, nobody likes Thursday night games in the CFL. The Alouettes do. Where are they playing this week? Thursday night, Montreal. Because, you know, Cam, Montreal is such a party town.
Mm-hmm.
They know we can't compete with everything on Saturdays. You know what I mean? People are going to go to the nightclubs. They're going to go to a Montreal Canadiens game. They're going to go to a soccer game. They're going to go to the club. They're going to go to the mountain and do acid at that hippie fest, like whatever. Like they're gonna go to a rave,
Saturday,
like
acid,
yeah,
trip.
No, like Montreal knows, not enough. And Montreal, like you know, Cam,
yeah,
Thursday's a big drinker party.
It really is.
People like that like to get like Montrealers like Thursday night. They don't wait.
Yeah,
for
Thursday,
the
like Montreal.
Yeah, they don't wait for the weekend.
They don't care about
yeah.
Friday. They're like Thursday's our night. The
no,
weekend's
like,
here.
Thursday night yeah, football. Let's go. And exactly. No. Saturday. I'm
then
busy.
Again,
I'm going
it is
to
Montreal.
Concert.
Why not?
I like Montreal style.
Early.
And to your point, Gabe, about Saskatchewan, people don't understand how big that province is and every little hamlet, small
town.
They're
all
Rider
fans coming from three hours away.
Yes, yes. The whole damn province gets the mosaic, right? That's the thing. It's true. That's what they got fans everywhere, and it's hard to get to. Some of them live in remote areas.
So what's your pick, Cam? Stampeders or Rough Riders?
I'm going to be different than you guys. I'm going to be the old Stampeder, +1.5. I like the way this team coming off the bye week, as Babano mentioned. It's going to be a great game. Saskatchewan's on a heater right now, but I think Calgary is the remedy to stop them, expecting a great, great game. Maybe you guys are right, like 28-25 type of game going over the number. But I like the Calgary Stampeders, +1.5.
The way I look at it, I'm betting on the Rough Riders. And if Calgary wins, then whatever, we win our over 6.5 win total, and they get their 7th win. I just got paid for the Argo bet. I was wondering about that, because the Argos, it was impossible that they were going to win 12 games after losing, but it's been a couple of weeks. Like, so they could have paid us a couple of weeks ago, and I thought that I was like, all right, I think we're going to get paid only in like week 15. Because I remember before the year started, the bet was game. They must play 15 games with the CFL prop. But I randomly got paid last night overnight for the Argo bet, which was a nice bonus, because I went pretty big on it. All right. So let's wrap things up with the Tour Championship, as the PGA ends its season with their playoff. And Scottie Scheffler has just been absolutely dominant. He's won 5 times this year. First player to win 5 times since Tiger Woods. It's just been a spectacular run for Scottie Scheffler. And what's amazing and crazy about this, although there are only 30 golfers, in the tournament, Scottie Scheffler, Cam, is +170 to win.
It's crazy, Gabe. And this guy's numbers recently... It's unbelievable. Like, Robert McIntyre is a world-class player. He's won the Scottish Open, the Canadian Open. He blew a 4-shot lead, and once Scheffler was there, he never looked back. This guy's numbers, every week, it's either a win, a top five. He's just literally a robot. But now, you guys, moving forward, we're going to do bets without Scheffler, and a lot of sites are offering them now, and that's the way I'm going to attack it this week. He can win again, but, you know, I'm getting Henley 12-1 without Scheffler. Burns 20-1 and Hovland 20-1 without Scheffler. I don't want Scheffler in the mix.
It's pretty sad. The guy's ruined the sport, Kevin. Yes, you can't even bet. You got to bet without him. It's like, I can't even bet this.
I got to be honest with you. Sundays are like, used to be. You're right. The guy's ruined golf. Like, I'm depressed on Sundays going, ooh, I got a guy in the leaderboard. Here's Scheffler. I'm just sitting there going, okay, like, how do I get out of this bet? Can I get over plus money? That's the whole thing. This guy, he's unbettable right now. Gabe, do you know for a top five this week, he's -460? -460 for a top five. That's what I'm talking about. So you could take him in a matchup bet. What, you're gonna lay -400,
like wire to wire? So he's gotta go, he's got a lead after every day.
That's
+750. That's all they're offering for that. It's pretty it's pretty wild. So what's your betting without, if we take Scottie Scheffler out, Rory McIlroy, and even Rory's numbers are stupid. Rory's +475. Tommy Fleetwood is +800. Ludwig is 11-1. Henley's 12-1. Victor Hovland's 14-1. Sam Burns is 18-1. Justin Thomas, 20-1. Cantlay, 20-1. JJ Spahn, 20-1. Morikawa, 20-1. I'll tell you what, my guy to bet, and I like it without, so we'll take Scheffler out of the equation. I'd rather get Cameron Young. Give me Cameron Young, 20-1. Without Scheffler, because I'd rather that, Cam, than 30-1 with Scheffler. So yeah, I'll go without betting without. I'll go Cameron Young 20-1. That's just my
bet. It's a great bet. Cameron Young, also this style of golf course. He got his first win. East Lake will play great to him. Gabe, watch out too for a couple Georgia Bulldogs. They're playing outside of Atlanta. A lot of Georgia fans will be there. Russell Henley, I like, and I love Cameron Young as well. 20-1 without Scheffler. Why deal with Scottie Scheffler if he wins his tournament and you don't get paid? Couldn't agree more. Great price on Young, 20 without Scheffler.
So what else do you have here?
Basically, I have that, and I have 12-1 Henley without Scheffler, and I got Hovland 20-1 without Scheffler. You said 14. I must have got that was on FanDuel. Great price there. Top 10s, Tommy Fleetwood -120, Cameron Young again +130, and JJ Spahn +130 for a top 10. Gabe, I'm not going crazy with Scheffler in this tournament. We got college football, we got CFL, we got baseball and other things to bet. Not many bets this week.
There's just another dart toss. The guy's had a great year. Let's see if he can end with a bang. Ben Griffin, 20-1 without Scottie Scheffler.
Again. I think a lot of people I respect in the golfing betting world, like Ben Griffin, top five, top 10, he'll be there. He should, this course should be very,
probably,
very nice.
Yeah, exactly. Like Ben Griffin for prop bets, I think is a good play. Babano, do you have any picks for the tour championship?
Ben Griffin is from my golf guy. My golf guy likes Ben Griffin here this week, as well as J.J. Spahn, 35-1, Ben Griffin, 35-1, Harris English, 50, and Andrew Novak, way down the board.
Dude, I bet that guy last week and he shot eight over. I'm done with Novak.
All right, Cam. Safe travels.
Thank you.
To Las Vegas. Enjoy the weekend in Vegas. Have a banner. Enjoy the games this week. Remember to subscribe to the podcast wherever you download and listen to your favorite podcast. This is Sports Raid. Check it out at Sports Grid as well. And we will be starting a new show this weekend, actually. College football week 0. We will be on at noon Eastern on the grid, breaking it down live, starting with K-State and Iowa State, leading into the UNLV-Idaho State game and the complement football game. And then the following Thursday, we got it starts to get real, real. So college football is nearly. Other than that, you're on your own. Later.